The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Joe, I'm so glad you're here.
Thanks for having me.
I adore you. I've been watching your stuff on the talks, on the YouTubes, on all of it. You are just such a breath of fresh air, especially in the comedy space. I'm so rooting for you. I'm so glad that I get to have you on. Thank you for coming
in. Thank you.
You're here for Netflix's Joke Comedy Festival.
Yes.
We're all shaking our tits for cash. They are really stretching us thin.
It's unbelievable, too, because I'm like, okay, wait, you're all going to tell us to do all these shows, but like, when's the last time any of you were on stage? Yeah. How about you go up there, okay? And then have everybody write about it online. Let's see how well you last.
Also, I love that, you know, it is LA, one of the most difficult cities to get around.
Oh my God.
And they're like,
God,
I need you to do a show at 5:30 at the Westside Comedy Theater. Then you're going to go down to Dodger Stadium. Then you're going to go up to Calabasas and just do a quick campfire at Kris Jenner's house. And you're like, what am I doing?
I land. Okay, so I'm in DC all weekend this weekend.
Great.
And then I come back to LA. I land on Monday. I have to go from the airport to do KTLA, the news, at 5 o'clock p.m. I'm like, I'm going to be in this car for 3.5 hours.
Yeah, forget it. Just go ahead and put a gun in your mouth.
Bless me.
So, Joe, you're where now? You're in Seattle.
Seattle, yes.
But you're Detroit roots.
Detroit roots, yes.
Okay.
And Detroit hustles harder.
Detroit hustles so hard. I love Detroit. Shout out to the Shinola Hotel.
Heather?
Yes.
This is the Shinola Watch.
Yeah. I mean, that is my spot. I stay in like the suite. Like,
oh my
that
God,
is my place.
You speak it.
I love Detroit.
All
my friends live in Birmingham.
So your friends are the bougie.
Yeah, they are bougie. They are very bougie. Yes.
I love
that. I'm sorry,
that.
Did you expect me to have poor friends? Gross.
The Birmingham.
Well, you know, yeah, they all, cute. You know, they moved out there.
Yeah, I used to teach right around there when I was a teacher.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was wild.
I want to get into the teacher thing.
Oh, honey.
But you are now, what made you make the jump to Seattle?
So my fiance works for a company. He's very high up in it. Mm-hmm. I cannot say what it is, but it rhymes with Amazon.
Yeah.
And we are now there. So
I love
yeah.
That.
So it was right around the time too where I was able to I had been doing stand-up comedy since I was in third grade. It was my talent.
Yes,
show,
hell yeah.
Talent. So teaching was the side hustle.
Right.
Right. I always knew this is where I was going because you have to be crazy enough to know it's happening.
Absolutely.
So when it did really start to happen and I was able to go on tour, he was like, well, I'm going to Seattle. And I was like, well, I don't really need to be based in New York or LA.
Yeah.
Because I'm about to tour for real. So let's go. And we did it. And we're on 6 years in Seattle and it's fantastic.
I love that.
I
moved back to Atlanta. And I find that you get more work when you don't live in LA or New York.
Yeah.
You have to leave this city for it to then pull you back.
Right.
The moment I left LA, like permanently and moved out, I think I was in the car driving my jet across country. And then I get 6 phone calls from agents. I was like, I didn't even know you guys represented me.
Oh my God. It's wild. Yeah.
Okay. So you're here doing the comedy festival and we'll get into all that. But I'm so interested in your origin and your roots. So you were in education, elementary school teacher, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What was your specialty?
I taught everything kindergarten to sixth grade.
Yeah.
With my specialty being reading, actually.
Oh, hooked
which
on
is,
phonics.
Baby, hooked on phonics. Phonics is making a full circle back now, right now.
Everything
it's
is cyclical, right?
Truly, truly.
We love a hooked on phonics callback.
We do, a little hooked on phonics.
That was a struggle. I was a great reader, but my parents held me to a different education level.
Did you go to private school or public school?
I did go to private school.
Okay.
But my sister was 3 years older, and I remember I was like a baby still in diapers, and my dad was teaching my sister how to read, who's 3 years older and didn't understand why I couldn't spell aquarium, you know? And I'm like, I've not even said mommy, daddy.
Oh yeah. And then, and then the parents come in and they're like, my kid can't read. I'm like, your kid's 5.
Yeah.
We can actually calm down,
yeah.
But sure.
Sure.
Let's just slap the whole Bible in their hands and expect them to read it cover to cover. The craziest thing about reading is kids will, you'll look at a word and they will tell you something fully different. Like the word I was working with this kid was watermelon.
Uh-huh.
Watermelon.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
watermelon.
Starts with a W.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, 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 water.
She looked at it and goes, fruit.
But guess what? Not half off.
Not that bad.
Not that bad.
She was using
fruit.
She was using her context clues clearly.
Which is what we do 90% of my life is truly fake it till you make it.
Like, fake it till you make it.
I have scammed my way so hard into this business.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah, but I like that fruit.
With full conviction. Fruit. That's a W, bitch. Let's cool it.
I was also the person who, you know, my mom, I struggled so badly with math. Mm-hmm. Math and science is not my strong suit, but any sort of reading, English, language, social studies, that's where I thrived.
Really?
So what do you think as an educator, do you think there's a correlation? Like, can you spot the kids who are going to be good at one thing or another, like immediately?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I know which ones are going to turn out and be hooking. Like, let's
but
just
like
call
fruit
it.
Girl, where you like, she's going to do pharmaceutical sales because she's good at bullshitting.
And MLM, if we're being real. Yeah. Like, but yeah, she's a boss bitch ready to hustle her friends.
She's running an MLM right now. She is selling Arbonne out of the back of her like pink Lexus. Just
she'll be
thriving.
32. You haven't seen her since high school graduation. She'll write you on Facebook to get you in. Absolutely. That's her.
Yeah. Oh, I love this.
No, but you know who. And the other thing too is like some kids are just fucking mean. And the thing is there's this facade of a teacher that they think that you're a perfect smart person and you love all these kids. Bitch, I don't love all these kids. These are 30 individual personalities that are sitting in front of me, and you think I'm gonna get along with all of them? Like, you sit in a meeting with 30 people, do you like them all? No. That one's annoying and that one's annoying, and that's just life.
That is life.
And that's also fine to admit, but I don't have the red tape around me and my hands tied behind my back like a teacher anymore, so I can actually like say this real.
Yeah, good. You should let it out.
Fake it till you make it, though. As long as the parents don't know and the rest of them don't know.
You can beat the children.
And the kid thinks you really love. Yeah. Oh, God. This is the last time I'll ever be on any podcast.
No, it's okay. We can gut that.
Right. No, you're fine.
I mean, I worked the system in school, like, again, because academics were a little bit more challenging for me, but I was a politician. Like, I knew how to run it. I ran every club. I was student body president.
Yeah.
I still struggled to get into college because, again, you know, putting pen to paper was a little
bit
of a
challenge. Where'd you go?
University of Mississippi.
Oh.
So that checks out.
Oh.
Yeah. But a sorority girl fucking thrived.
Fraternity boy.
Oh, yes.
Fully thrive.
Wait, what? Where'd
Phi
you go?
Phi Kappa Tau by admitting me to membership is confirmed by me a mark of distinction in which I take just pride. How can I say it? Because the match is about to like go down and burn the fuck out
of
my fingers.
Phi Tau.
Phi Kappa Tau at Central Michigan University.
Nice.
Yes, which is here.
Yeah.
From my Michigan. Because you know Michigan.
Wait, I know Michigan. Hold on. That's the, what do they call it?
It's not the UP.
Not the UP.
Yes. It's like the knuckles that connect to your hand right in the middle of the state.
How tiny. Was fraternity life for you?
Lived, loved, was the best. I was one of the first gays.
Really? We love a progressive Phi Kappa Tau.
Oh, and they were like,
yeah,
they were into it. Like,
were you
it was
blowing
good.
Everybody every weekend?
Not. Not the brothers.
Not the brothers.
Not the brothers.
Well, I thought it didn't get incestual.
So that was a big thing too, because then I would like meet other cool gays on campus and be like, they're rushing too.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, okay, but you guys can never sleep together. I was like, can we like actually talk about this? Like, do you see him?
Right.
We're factually fine, babe. It's not going to happen. But it was wild.
I love that the straight guys are just like, okay, wait a minute. We've got two gay dudes. Obviously, you guys are going to be touching each other's butts. I don't know how this works, but don't make it gay, Joe.
If I walk in and you see you guys going butt to butt.
I want to lose my mind.
Fully.
You cannot come to spring formal.
Fully. Well, there were some who were like so cool with it. And there was a couple who were just like came from the backwoods, got accepted to college. And they're like, I don't know nothing about this, but I think it's fine.
Yeah.
We would watch RuPaul's Drag Race in the middle of the living room and I'd make them watch it.
Uh-huh.
I took like a few of them to their first drag show.
Good
like
for
it was
you.
Like a thing. Because I just like didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, I want to do it. It was fun.
I was.
So many of those guys are coming to my wedding.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love the sorority life and it's really funny, especially people like in the comedy industry when they find out that like, because I was normal and cool and like nice. And when people are like, oh, you like thrived in a social setting outside of like a improv group? I'm like, yeah, guys, I did. I was a Delta Gamma and I really thrived.
Oh, you're Delta Gamma.
Delta Gamma.
Okay.
Anchor up.
So
sis.
Are you still like super into it or like mildly?
I go back and I let them, you know.
Cater to you.
I let them bow
fully.
Down to me
fully.
And tell me how great I am and how proud they are of me. But do I donate to the Alumni Association? I sure don't. Haven't cut them a check yet.
Haven't.
But they got a $10 million like renovation on this sick house because I went to Ole Miss. So the houses are insane. And I literally walked back and I was angry. I was yelling at these girls like, I didn't live in this.
Yeah.
Like I led a nice house, but we had black mold in the showers. Like what the fuck?
So did we.
Did you live in the house?
I sure fucking
did.
Hell yeah. Best time of my life too.
Of course.
But I also remember too, there was like crazy things. Like I had to shower with shoes on because there's beer bottles broken in these showers. Like let's be, it was a locker room pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then our house got renovated right around the year that I left. So I stayed a summer and lived in the house while it was being renovated, which was a nightmare, but you got to live for free. It was like a whole thing.
Yeah. I remember those summers when you got to live in the house.
And because of living in the house that summer, I became an AGD sweetheart. Oh. I'm a sweetheart as well. Yeah.
Good for you.
Oh yeah. Baked those cookies for weeks. Just delivered them.
I was pretty upset when I was not. I was friends with a lot of guys who were in this one fraternity, and I was upset when they didn't ask me to be one of the sweethearts. I was like, I get that I'm 45 pounds heavier than every girl in this room, but you know I'm good at fucking sales, and I will recruit these guys. I will give everybody in this room a hand job. I am fighting for y'all because I'm the most fun at these parties.
Heather, it was so real. Like, yeah. I remember one of our brother's girlfriends was sweetheart, and then we just loved her, so we're like, she'll be sweetheart again. Uh-huh. And these other girls staged a coup and came to the house and told us that we weren't allowed to do that.
I was like, the Vital House.
And that's when I got gay, because I remember me being on the porch and these girls were out there doing it. And I said, actually, bitch, we're going to do it because this is not yours.
Yeah.
You're welcome that we even allowed you.
Once they picked another sorority sister of mine to be this sweetheart. And she kind of was like a little, they were literally like, one of my buddies pulled me aside. He goes, Heather, look at her. And literally she was like,
oh, no.
Just big jugs, kind of a little cross-eyed, but like thriving.
Heather, no.
Yeah, but she was so hot that the guy's like, we need a skinny girl with big tits to walk in, like be standing there next to the president of this specific fraternity house. They're like, we just need somebody dumb who keeps her mouth shut. But then when they would be initiating a new pledge class, I was always in the basement chugging beers with all the boys.
Fully.
I was like, yeah, I'm on the base. I basically should have been house mom.
Oh.
Yeah. I would have thrived.
Are you a weed person?
I am, yes.
Okay, yeah, totally. Yeah. So I also would be the one who would like sneak in the bongs and like teach them how to make water bongs out of like milk jugs and stuff like that too. So they were like, oh, this gay person can really do it. Like I just like made my way
into
that space. I don't know. It's a special kind of person to not give a fuck, right?
Yeah.
But when you truly don't give a fuck, that's when you thrive.
I'm at that kind of place in my life. I think I've always kind of like stayed in my own lane, done my own thing. But now I am full throttle, 100 miles an hour down the highway in a PG Cruiser of don't give a fucks.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Take over your podcast for a minute.
Absolutely. I'm here for it.
Do you know that you're a gay icon?
I'm sorry, excuse me?
I'm pretty fucking sure. When I told my girls that I was going to be on this, my girls, they're guys, that I was coming on your podcast, they lost their goddamn minds.
I have
chills. They told me to wear cheetah.
Yeah, I'm a cheetah girl.
I was like, I don't think I'm going to do it when I'm on the podcast, but if I go to the show with you guys, I'll do it, but...
I am so, I have goosebumps. My pussy is throbbing. I don't know how to take in this information except thank you. And to all of the girls, AKA gays, who are listening right now, the next tour will definitely be more catered towards you. I've been yelling about husbands and infertility and things like that, but don't worry. We're sewing up that pussy and it's only going to be about the gays. I love you.
I'm here for it. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Thank you for that. I needed that boost of self-confidence today.
So what is your audience like at your show? Is there a lot of gays?
Yeah, it's a mixture. It's gays, gals, husbands, and it's a good time. It's a great time. What's your audience like?
Girls, husbands, and it's really starting to get gay, which I love.
Yeah.
Because for a long, long time, it was predominantly teachers, moms, which I love this too. But when the gays are showing up, it's like, oh, you connect to the material because like you lived what I'm saying, right? So I just did Fort Lauderdale. You know Fort Lauderdale?
Oh, dude. Fort Lauderdale.
Bitch, I thrive in Florida, actually.
Yes, I love this.
It's wild. Like every time I'm there, I do wonder if I'm safe. Yeah. But I do thrive. 40 gays show up, all sit together like these ripped muscle bears. I was like, and then after the show, I was like, so how'd you guys find out of the show? They're like, we're fans. We love you. I'm like,
okay, thank you. Thank you. I peaked and I will die now.
Harry Casey from Casey and the Sunshine Band bought a bunch of tickets for him and his gay friends. And they came to my show and he's a fan of me. I'm like,
what is happening?
Is this how this goes down? I was like, okay, cool. But that was the most gays at a show. That was about 50-50. So it's growing. And I'm
gorgeous.
I'm into it.
I'm so happy for you.
Husbands at shows can be... Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a husband at a show be like, I didn't think it was going to be...
Joe, every day of my life, every meet and greet I have after a show, they go, gotta be honest with you. Michelle put a gun to my head and said, if you don't get in the car right now, I'll never suck your dick again. So I came to the show. And actually, you know what? For having big tits, And being a woman who shouldn't vote and should stay in the kitchen, you know what? You're actually really funny. And I'm like, fuck you, Mark. But also, thank you for coming. Every day of my life.
I don't think you realize the level of friendship that we've just
created. Yeah, we are one and the same.
It boggles my fucking mind what these men will say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, never saw a gay guy before on stage like this. Didn't know. Didn't know. But you got me to laugh. Where the fuck did you think you were going, brother?
Did you think I was going to come out on stage, take off my pants, and just do the helicopter?
And ribbon dance?
Yeah, what did
Olympic
you think?
Olympic, like, come on.
And then they've gotten better, but it is interesting. You know, it's a little bit of it's a push and pull. And then when the guys come, they have a great time. And I'm just like, yes, women can be funny. Gays can be funny.
Yeah.
It's okay to enjoy something outside of your perfect little bubble
of
who you are.
And the best though is when they come back and you see them again and it's like, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
I was doing a meet and greet in Phoenix and it was four dudes, like literally in like Peter Millar shirts, golf pants. And they were at the end of the meet and greet. And I was like, oh my God, are you guys holding places for your wives? I was like, no, we didn't even fucking get them tickets. No, we came here. No, they're at home with the kids. And I was like, let's go. And then we gangbanged. But I was just like, That's what I live for.
How do you feel about Phoenix?
I love Phoenix.
Yeah.
Phoenix is great. I guarantee, have you played the Orpheum yet?
Not the Orpheum.
Do the clubs?
I do the clubs in Phoenix because I'm keeping it chill for a minute.
Yeah.
I did Tempe Improv.
I haven't been to Tempe yet.
Amazing. First of all, obsessed.
Okay.
Watch out, not at the club, but I did get tacos from outside of my hotel and got insane food poisoning and had to cancel 4 out of my 5 sold out shows.
Oh my God.
But they let me come back a month later, which is great. But food poisoning.
Yeah.
Not only can I not eat tacos, I don't know if I can go back.
Yeah, that's how traumatizing it
was. Talking about it, my stomach.
Were you like in a Holiday Inn, just gripping the walls?
A
like
Holiday Inn?
Yeah.
She's going to read me.
Listen.
She came to play. Okay, let me take off my hoops for a minute, Miss Man.
If you were in a Hyatt place, good luck, but I don't know what's out in Tempe, okay?
She did say Shinola. Yeah. Detroit, when you said that, Detroit was like, I'm gone.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. I'm from Atlanta, okay? So I can do what I need to do.
What is it, buck something?
Buckhead, yeah. That is my one creature comfort on the road. I stay nice. I like a high thread count.
I get it. I get it.
Our jobs are hard, and I'm fighting for my life every day. I'm going to do it at the Four Seasons. Did you know that hair thinning will happen to approximately 1 in 2 women? If you're among them, hey, just know you're not alone. Thinning is normal, but it's not openly talked about, and going through it can feel lonely and frustrating. Join the over 1 million people that are doing something about it with Nutrafol. I love Nutrafol. Seriously, personally, been taking it legit. Like, I love it because it works for the root problem. And that's 90% of it. It's like, let's get to the root problem, not just the surface layer. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding, which we love to shed less. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol women's hair growth supplements for 6 months. Their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com, all you gotta do is take it for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. So log on to their website, plug in what's going on, and they will help you find the right formula. With Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription required, free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day. See results in 3 to 6 months. It's really, truly helped my hair feel thicker and fuller. I'm getting those baby hairs and I'm here for it. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com. Enter promo code absolutely not. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code absolutely not. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code absolutely not. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Have you ever walked into a store and had no idea what wine to get? Yeah, we have all been there. You're hot, you're thirsty, you're bothered. You don't know what you want to get. Well, I have stopped wasting time at the grocery store, staring at a giant wall of wine and not knowing what to pick. That's why I love our next sponsor, Naked Wines. Naked Wines is awesome. It's a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet, so you get a box of market's best quality wines, however often you like, for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Use our code ABSOLUTELY for the code and password at nakedwines.com and get their incredible deal of 6 bottles for just $39.99. I love Naked Wines. You're literally getting stuff delivered right to your door for up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middleman costs, winemakers can pass along those savings on hundreds of top quality, award-winning wines to you. So head to nakedwines.com/absolutely and click enter voucher in the top right and put in absolutely for both the code and the password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/absolutely and use code and password absolutely to grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, I'm going to tell you, that's nakedwines.com/absolutely code and password absolutely for $100 off your first 6 bottles. Love you, mean it. You're going to enjoy Naked Wines. I think you're going to really, really, really be happy that you use the code absolutely. Again, nakedwines.com/absolutely. I am definitely going to be spending more time at home. I'm going to be spending more time cooking. And I am so excited that I got Caraway's non-toxic cookware. It's just the perfect way to kick off these summer parties that I plan on having. Have you ever been trying a new recipe? It's got fun twists, or, you know, maybe you're trying to make that spicy rigatoni alla vodka that everybody's making. But wouldn't you love to try it in a fabulous new pan that you know you're not going to have to scrub and just literally beat to all hell after the end? Well, with so many collections to explore, there's sure to be a Caraway for every kind of cook. Caraway's internet famous kitchenware is a staple for any home and comes in various modern shades to fit with any design aesthetic. Ditch the chemicals with Caraway. Caraway's home is non-toxic kitchenware, features a chemical-free ceramic coating, so food can be prepared with peace of mind that no hard-to-pronounce chemicals will leach into your healthy ingredients. Man, Caraway just makes a superior product. I love their pans. I just got a whole new set, and it is so nice that it's got a chemical-free ceramic coating. There's nothing worse. If you actually start doing your research on some of this toxic shit that they put in pans, it will shock you. Caraway products are made without any toxic materials like PFAS, PTFE, PFOAs, or other hard-to-pronounce chemicals. Ceramic, naturally slick surface means minimal oil or butter for slide-off-the-pan easy eggs and easy cleaning. And they have over 65,000 people have given them 5-star ratings for Caraway Kitchen. And just a reminder, their iconic cookware set comes with a saute pan, fry pan, Dutch oven, saucepans, plus lids for all of them, a canvas lid holder, a magnetic pan rack for storage. It's the ultimate kitchen setup and will save you $150 versus buying the items individually. Plus, if you visit carawayhome.com/absolutely, you can take an additional 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive to our listeners, so visit caraway.com/absolutely and use code absolutely to check out Caraway non-toxic cookware made modern. Okay, so you had horrible food poisoning.
Horrible food poisoning, can't go back. Yeah. I can't go back to Tempe too.
Yeah.
But that has changed me as a traveler, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm very careful about where I stay, what I eat, how close I am to the venue and all that too. Because you got to take care of yourself on the road or you will die. We'll shrivel up and
you'll
die.
You'll literally die. And that's, people just don't get it. I'm like, you don't understand what it's like to never have a day off and to constantly be in movement.
Do you party?
I don't party.
During your shows?
No.
Before or after?
I will. I'll have like a couple drinks or something, but I can't.
Is there something on my shoulder?
No, stop, stop. Don't. Am I doing it? Am I doing it, Joe? Am I doing it? Am I cross-eyed? Wait, hold on. For reference. Okay, Joe, you're so mean for that. You're so mean for that.
Holiday Inn?
I'm sorry. No, but I just meant that was a comment on Tempe. That wasn't a comment on you.
I get it.
Okay, so the is there something on my shoulder reference? I'm so embarrassed. So, y'all, I just need to tell you something, and I'm sorry, Joe. This is your time to shine, but I have been in 2 meetings in the last month where someone has asked me, while I'm making direct eye contact, do I have something on my right shoulder? You keep looking at it. Somebody asked me if they had a hole in their sweater, and I was just at a big agent meeting, and the guy goes, do I have something on my right shoulder? You keep looking at it, which then made me panic. I thought, do I have a lazy eye?
Yeah.
Have I stroked out? I was like, does it smell like burnt toast? And I realized that two grown men have asked me this in the last month. I clearly, something's going on the right side of my face. Do I have Bell's palsy? I don't know what's going on.
No.
So my, one of my other agents was like, so my reaction was, oh my God, I'm having bad allergies. I'm so sorry. My right eye keeps watering. My agent said, do you need eye drops? I have them. And in front of the whole table, I use eye drops that I did not need because I panicked. I did not know how to recover. And then the entire rest of the conversation I had, I just was cross-eyed. I was like, I'm making such direct eye contact that you can't even see which eye I'm looking at. I think it's stress-induced. Yeah. Have I been making good eye contact with you?
You've been making great eye contact.
Okay, thank
you've been
you.
Doing good. You've been
I'm
doing
looking good. At the shoulder. Okay, wait. So let's get back how you made the jump. So you're in Detroit. You're doing teaching. You obviously start putting stuff on social media. Mm-hmm. You're doing stand-up. It does what it did for all of us. It just takes off.
It took off. It was kind of crazy how it happened, too. So I never thought that my stand-up would be about teaching, but that's what hit. And I'm like, let's roll with it.
Yeah.
You know. So I had a video go massively viral. I pranked my class on April Fool's Day and gave them a fake spelling test, woke up with 20 million views, and then was invited to go on The Ellen Show.
Yeah.
And then a month later, she invited me back as this kind of like reoccurring character.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic experience. But because of those experiences, I was able to call clubs and say, I have 45 minutes right now. Would you let me headline? And a lot of them were saying no, except for Lou Ferranda at Caroline's on Broadway in New York at the time. He was like, I'm gonna give this guy a chance. He stayed. He goes, I'll give you 30 minutes. I wanna see you tomorrow morning. Come back to the room. And he goes, you have something.
Uh-huh.
You're very good. And I will vouch for you wherever you wanna go. If you wanna get into a place, have them call me and I'll vouch for you. And I did.
Mm-hmm.
And from there I was, you know, you start with one-nighters and you start moving seats, and then my managers and agents picked me up, and it was just went from there. But doing that viral video really, boom, just set it on fire.
It is so important in the early stages when you get somebody who's in your corner. Shout out to Lucy at Zany's in Nashville.
Oh my God, love Lucy.
Lucy's the greatest.
We have to text her a picture
of us together. Picture.
She'll die.
She is everything. And she was one of those who would like literally vouch for me places. And I was like, Lucy's my girl. Shout out to Lucy. Yeah. We love you.
Have you done the Ryman? You're probably doing the Ryman.
Yeah, I did the Ryman. But my last show at the Ryman, the fire alarm went off because we were under a tornado watch. We had to stop the show. They were starting to evacuate the building. And then they brought everybody in, and then I had to pick the show back up. And it was not because there was a tornado in the vicinity. It's because somebody set off the fire alarm with the popcorn machine.
Oh.
At concessions.
Yeah.
So the place got smoky. It was a whole thing. People were hitting the deck. They thought the whole place was on fire. And it was because either somebody like was vaping in the bathroom or the popcorn machine.
Would never at Zany's.
Zany's would have their shit together.
Ryman. Lucy would never.
You did the Ryman.
I've not done the Ryman.
Oh,
no.
It's magical.
I'm still kind of growing my Nashville fan base too, but they are hard. They go hard for my shows there.
That's fantastic.
I love it.
And Nashville is such a great comedy audience. Like, and too, like I have to, I'm growing my shit like in the Pacific Northwest and stuff like that. Like I'm going and like I'd never been to Vermont and I went on this tour. And like, so I'm still even going to new markets where I'm like, I don't even know if anybody knows me here, but let's fucking go.
Really? Yeah.
What's your favorite city that you've performed in?
It is Detroit. That's where it all started to. And then now, this is the first time I'm saying this. I get an exclusive on your podcast. Oh. I can't say the date. I'm doing the Fox Theater in Detroit, which is like our biggest, most grand, most elegant 4,000 seater.
Oh.
And like, just to even be able to say that I'm playing the Fox is like,
I'm so thrilled for you. You're going to have such a great night. What a gorgeous, stunning, historic theater.
It's unreal. Did you play the Fox?
I don't think I played the Fox. I don't think I played the Fox. I played another theater in Detroit.
The Majestic, Emily's on it. St. Andrews, the Fisher.
Ooh, yeah, played the Fisher.
Very nice.
Yes, but I'm dying to play the Fox. I shot, and I don't know if they're related, all the Foxes, like there's a Fox St. Louis. I don't think they're necessarily related, but I just shot my special at the Fox in Atlanta. That's my home theater.
Beautiful.
Like that's my—
Your biggest audience too?
No.
Really?
Like my most diehard?
Yeah.
Yes. Same. Yeah, that in New York.
Detroit.
Mine's
Detroit and Boston.
Oh yeah, Boston
sold
is the best.
Three Wilbers in 15 minutes.
Oh,
and I was like,
fuck yeah.
But I have no connection to the city, but they just fucking love
Boston.
Boston
is one of the best comedy towns. They get it. They are dialed in. They just crave it.
Oh, I love it.
I think I want to shoot my next special in Boston. I'm
absolutely,
to work
for
it out.
Sure.
It's pretty pricey, but I'm going to figure it out.
But
you know what I mean?
What I love about Boston and Providence, Rhode Island, I feel when I perform in those places, they're not laughing at your peasant shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
you got to bring it.
Right. You have to bring a game material. Like your callbacks must be a callback with a callback behind that callback. Like it has to be good, or they're just going to be like, it was good. It was fine.
It was fine.
But when they fuck with you, they fuck with you, which I love.
Oh, I love that so much.
A big fan base in Seattle too, because I've lived there and now worked it so many times.
What is your journey now in Seattle? How do you feel? It's a wild town.
Wild.
Uh-huh. I just
played the day one I was there was the first time I ever saw black tar heroin in real life.
Yeah, outside of like a nice Starbucks and an Equinox gym, and you're like, what is happening?
We have an Equinox. it's real. It's wild. It's mm-hmm. wild. We are getting married in Seattle because we really did fall in love with this city, and we want our whole families to experience where we live too. So we're bringing them in June. Most beautiful
passing
time
out
to
black
be
tar
there.
Heroin at the welcome
it's the
party.
Gift. It's the parting gift, right? You know, be one with the people is what everyone told us.
Absolutely.
But it is a city where you have to learn how it is. Like it's not warm. Like Morgan's from, I'm with the Southern man. He's from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hey, Raleigh, that's great. Well, North Carolina's a whole nother kitten caboodle.
It's a whole different.
North Carolina people.
I love it too. Uh-huh. Bless your heart.
Bless
your
heart. Yes, bless
ma'am.
Your heart. You are
Thank
a cunt.
You, sir. But he, when we both got there, and in Michigan, we say hello to everyone. You walk your dog, you say hello. If they're across the street, you say hello. Seattle doesn't talk to you.
At all.
Faces down. And apparently it's this like Norwegian culture that's sort of embedded in the city. It's called the Seattle freeze. But we're not like talking until we're established friends. And I'm like,
so
oh,
you're like
wow.
tongue to tongue, butt to butt.
Yeah, all that. For sure.
I will not make eye contact.
No.
Until.
That took me a minute.
Yeah.
That took me a minute because I'm a very social person. I was down to make friends immediately. And it takes a while. When you get in your groove out there, it's beautiful. It's like we live in a painting, Heather. We look out our back window and it's like the sound and the mountains. And then a fucking orca whale will jump. And we're like,
oh,
is
God,
this?
God, that's magical.
Did Bob Ross create this land? Yeah. It's wild.
And then it's nice too because you don't have to kind of be in that like Seattle gloom because you're traveling and you're on the road. So you get to go down to like Fort Lauderdale, get a little touch of melanoma and head back.
Which I can get trashy and I love it. And then I come back. But Seattle, another thing that I love about it, great food. I wasn't expecting that. No,
great restaurants.
Great restaurants.
And again, black heroin for dessert. So
just sprinkled on top like truffle shavings. You never know.
Listen, whatever you do.
How does black tar heroin, how does it even come? Like before it's like baked
I think
down.
It's in like a thick brick or something.
I think it's isn't it a flour?
No, that's like it's opium. Opium, yes. Opium does.
Forgive me.
Yeah, I know. Guys, can you believe that? Just two gals talking about opium. I do believe it starts as the opium, the poppy plant.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how they break it down from
there. They shave it over your pen and then
they
it's
do.
Good. Yeah.
I had a absolute freak out one time here at a restaurant in LA, and I am not a Karen, but they upcharged me $80 because it was quote unquote truffle season. I'm like, I'm Italian. I know when truffle season's here. And I got wood chip shavings across a pizza. Uh-huh. And I was like, this is not tartufo. This is actually wood chips or sod. And I said, you will be taking this off my bill. It was the driest fucking truffle. So in LA,
no. Good for
unless
you,
it's
Heather.
Like, unless it's absolute, like, you know what I mean? You know, it's Michelin rated. Do not fall for the fucking truffles.
Oh no.
We're also not in truffle season right now. So everybody needs to chill the fuck out.
I had an adverse reaction to truffles in Vegas.
Oh,
two
really?
Weekends ago.
Okay.
So I went to.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And ordered this thing that had like a lot of black truffles in it. And Heather, I don't know. This has never happened to me.
Okay.
This dish smelt like dirty, nasty, disgusting sink water.
Oh God.
Is that like a thing?
That should not be a thing
like,
at a restaurant.
Do I have COVID? Like this is, it was.
Was it liquid, babe? Was it like a soupy?
It was.
Like a.
It was.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're at an, you could, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you can say that. You're just at an Asian establishment.
Right.
There's plenty of those. You're at a ramen spot. You're eating ramen. We can say that. That doesn't nail down where you went.
And watch the comments. It's going to be like, he was at this place at this time. And here's the security footage of him meeting the chef and thanking him for those truffles. Straight up. Here I am trying to be all coy.
Yeah. No. Just go ahead and say it. Just go ahead. We don't have to say the restaurant. I mean, I've also like had words with like the hostess at Carbone in Vegas. I was like, you're rude. I worked in the industry for 10 years and you're rude. So I get it. And
you're an industry worker, a server?
Oh, honey, was I a server? I was a bartender.
What else did you do for your comic?
Oh,
I love having this conversation with people.
Yeah.
What other jobs have you had before you were a comic?
I have worked every single hospitality job you can imagine. So I actually got my start in LA in fitness, which jokes on me. I worked at SoulCycle. I worked for another fitness guru. I have been a nanny. I have done every job in the restaurant biz. I have been a personal assistant. And then I also worked for a Middle Eastern family that was of royalty. And I can't really talk about it much publicly, but I'll tell you off air. Yeah. Because they will behead me. So,
fully, yes. And goodbye.
Yeah. So I had to sign a lot of papers on that.
Oh, beautiful. Uh-huh. I love that.
Yeah.
Do you work it into your stuff?
Well, that one I have not.
Okay.
But a lot of the other stuff, yes.
I love
absolutely.
It.
Yeah. All survival jobs. What jobs did you do before this?
Cycle instructor.
Okay. Well, I worked at SoulCycle. And when I told them, they're like, what do you see your like 5-year goal here? And in my mind, when I was in the interview, I was like, I'm not going to be working here hopefully longer than 9 months because hopefully I'll be a star. And I said in the meeting, I just go, eventually I'd love to be an instructor. And they said, I think we really are just focusing on front desk right now. And I was like, yeah, they're like, she can't get up on this bike. But I was fucking good at SoulCycle, so suck my dick. Continue. You were cycle instructor.
Because teaching, mm-hmm. you have to have a second, third job. Like, it's of just course. How we survive. Cycle instructor, tutoring is what most teachers do as well.
Okay.
I was a Canadian.
Uh-huh.
And I worked at the Detroit Zoo.
Oh.
I worked at the, you want to hear a good story?
Yeah. Oh, dude, I was just at the Australian Zoo and I'm obsessed
love
with
the
zoo
Australia
life.
Zoo.
Obsessed
were you
with
just
zoo life.
Lurking for Bindi and Robert?
Like, I got to see them. I saw the live show. I was there.
Did you meet Robert Irwin?
I didn't get to meet them.
What's the age on him before we start talking about this?
I think he's 20. Just Google. He's a
attractive man.
Also,
and an Australian accent, yeah. Like literally going to slide off his
chair. He's 20. Legal. Okay.
Unbelievable.
I got to see the whole show and it was like, I was weeping. Because they do a whole memorial to the dad. And it was my dad's birthday. It was the day either before or after. And I just sat there watching the croc show in the crocosaurium. And
I was
hysterically crying.
I get it.
Like couldn't catch my breath crying. And I was with my buddy Chris and Ray. And they were like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm like, we are seeing history. We are seeing we're seeing the Irwin show. They also have her mirror ball. Because she won Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yeah,
they have
did.
It in the museum. So you can like pet a koala and take photos with the mirror ball for Bindi Irwin's mirror ball.
Shotgun mirror ball. Yeah. Like that yeah. is so cool.
It was
cool.
Insane. Okay, wait. So you worked at the zoo. Let's talk about this.
I was the director of kindergarten summer camp.
Oh, that's great.
And I wrote the curriculum and did everything. So this is a story.
Okay.
I don't know what the statute of limitations are and things like okay. this, but sure.
We got to cut it out. We got to get attorneys. No, yeah.
I've told it on yeah. stages in okay. many cities.
Great.
Every grade level would have some sort of backstage experience at the zoo during their time, right?
Okay.
So kindergartners were studying reptiles. So
they get to pet a lizard.
Well, we took them behind in the reptile like house.
Okay.
Okay. So they would go behind the scenes and see anything. Well, the teachers had to like take the kids, give them to the zookeepers and wait where all the public is. And then they'd come out of this other door after their experience, right?
Okay.
So I'm standing there. The general public in front of me is this like 2,000 gallon terrarium home of a 30-year-old Burmese python that's been there like for 30 years. So I don't think he's happy.
I'm so nervous.
Heather, this is the realist.
Okay.
A tiny little door in the corner of this python enclosure opens up.
No.
And then I see tiny little kindergarten feet. And then another one and another one and another one. And now all the kindergartners are like lined up in here.
In the terrarium?
In the terrarium.
Oh my God.
Because the zookeeper thought he was giving them like a behind the scenes experience. And I see this snake start to slither down to him. And I don't speak parcel tongue, so I can't tell him to not. And I looked at him and I can't yell because I will freak out the general public because I'm on the other side of the glass. I'm charadesing this man and be like, get them out. And finally he like, okay. And like gets them back around. He comes around. I'm like,
What were you doing?
And he's like, I thought I was just giving him like a really good
hand-all experience.
I thought we're really just teaching about nature. I was like, that python was about to look like anal beads for an elephant. Like this is not acceptable behavior.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into those situations and you're like, because that's the one thing I did think, any zoo I've ever been to, I'm like, what is the qualification to work here?
Oh, let me tell you, nothing. Because I drove a golf cart through a fence at the zoo. Like, not really a lot.
I was so impressed with the Australia Zoo. They're all scientists. They're all like, this is their dedication.
Right.
But there are moments where I've been to like the Atlanta Zoo and I'm like,
ma'am,
what are you doing here?
Is this Chili's?
Yeah, I think it's like a Chili's. Yeah. Or this is some sort of like community volunteer program because you got a DUI last week.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you know anything about wildcats. And I don't think you should be running the show here.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, true.
Okay, so you saved lives. So not saved only lives. Are you a comedian, an educator, you're also philanthropic and a hero.
And a hero, true
One
hero.
One might say a hero.
True hero, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you started doing comedy, you're doing the damn thing, and you did a special. It's
I
on
did,
YouTube.
Yes.
What's it called?
Don't Eat the Crayons.
Don't Eat the Crayons. Okay.
So I condensed all of my teaching material and wanted to do something with it. So I put that together and did
Amazing.
The YouTube special Don't Eat
Great.
The Crayons.
And everybody can check it out
Anybody
now.
Everybody can watch it free. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Go get
I
it.
Love
go
this.
Get it.
And you're doing two shows here for Netflix is a Joke. Yes. This is going to air tomorrow. So I
oh,
want
great.
To promote it.
Yeah.
Promote it.
Netflix is a Joke. I'm at the Hollywood Improv in
Amazing.
The main room. Two shows on Tuesday the 7th.
Great.
There's some tickets left for the second show, I believe.
Yeah.
So if you're a Heather fan, now you might be a Joe fan.
Yeah.
Come on in.
You got to come. I mean, Joe, you're so funny. I think I can maybe come to one of the shows. What do I have on?
Please do.
Tuesday?
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
But let's
Tuesday
see.
7th and 9th.
I can maybe come to the
How
late one. Because I'm running around and doing all these fucking shows.
If you want. I know you're doing a lot of shows.
Yeah.
If you want to do a guest set, it's literally yours.
Okay, well, I love and adore you. If I can make it, I will absolutely try and make that happen.
I think also when the fans see this, they're going to I get messages at multiple times a month saying that we need to connect.
I am so glad we have connected because I'm also writing 6,000 shows and there's already a part for you. Like you're in, you're dialed in. We need to play besties.
Done.
We like rollerblade and we're selling Black Star heroin.
Literally.
Like there is a fucking buddy comedy there. Everyone that's coming recently, I'm like Mandy Moore was here on Tuesday. And I go, Mandy, I'm writing
you're
a
subtle.
No, I literally was like, I'm writing a show for us to be sisters and like, you're dying. And she's like, I'm in, but I'm just so
already
excited.
Played that role. Just the show just ended.
And that's what I told her. I was like, you were so good at like having cancer. I think we need to do it again. And she was like, honestly, I'm down.
My mom made me watch that last episode of that show.
Uh-huh.
It's called This Is Us, right? It's called This Is
oh,
Us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you watch the last episode?
I threw up.
Heather.
Threw projectile vomited.
I didn't even get through my mom explaining the train situation.
Yeah.
I'm like, and then what?
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah, it's.
I'm a baby back bitch
same.
When it comes to that shit.
I find that I cry a lot, not even at sad things, but if something's happy, I'm a happy crier. I am.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think I'm a little jaded because my dad died and I had to like watch like the life force leave his body. So sad stuff doesn't make me sad. But if there's a birth, if there's a wedding, if there's, I don't know, if you get a fucking pet guinea pig, I am like, this is a new life and I am thrilled for you, Joe.
We
like,
are,
I get excited.
You're talking about when our dogs inevitably have to leave Earth.
Yes.
I'm like, Morgan, I can't.
But a dog death is totally different.
Totally different.
Take 2 weeks off work. You know what I mean? Maybe go to the zoo, pet something else to fill that void.
Truly, truly. And you have Frenchies, right?
I have Frenchies,
Beautiful.
Yes. And what kind of dog do you have?
Golden Retriever.
Oh,
you
want
to see him?
Oh, wait. Yes, absolutely. I have to see your child.
Well, he's the background on my phone.
So was mine.
Oh, my phone's off because I'm a professional woman. But here we go. He is handsome. He just turned 2.5.
And what is it like having a golden retriever? Because those are, I would say, America's dog and also like usually well-behaved. I have Frenchies.
Oh.
They will bite your ankles and bite your children. You thought a python was bad with kids? Throw two Frenchies in the mix with children.
Him being as well-behaved as,
Wait, first of all, he's a star.
Yeah.
That is a photogenic king.
Yeah, he's an L.L. Bean catalog dog, like 10,000.
He's gorgeous. Your screen went black. It's okay. You're just...
Hey.
But I saw
you like
him.
That?
I saw him. Like a perfect tongue, like noses, angles.
Perfect dog, yeah.
Oh,
so
my God.
He is so well-trained because Morgan had never had a dog before. So I was like, we're doing Golden Retriever.
Uh-huh.
That's how we're going to do this. And we actually walk him around the neighborhood off-leash and he'll just like stay by us. And he's totally... And then we'll be like down when someone's coming or we get to a crosswalk and he'll just boop. Go down.
That's
insane
my dream.
How smart he is.
I kind of have this fantasy. Like, I love my dog so much, but I kind of have this fantasy. I'll look at like adopting a dog, and I'm like, I want to go and like the next one. I always tell Jeff, I'm like, the next one, we're getting some breed that's like some 11-year-old dog who will just stay on the couch and not bark at anyone, not do anything.
Oh,
mine
fully.
But I'm bored when I see people who have well-behaved dogs, or just, and I don't mean like as in my dogs are a threat, but I just mean like Frenchies are nutty. They do zoomies. They're crazy.
They give you a life. Yeah.
When I see somebody with like a nice chocolate lab who's like a hunting dog and just lays there, I'm like, that's boring. You know what I mean? I need the chaos. I think I thrive
fully.
In the chaos.
Mac does get Crazy.
Okay.
Crazy too. But he, like, when we tell him, he'll know how to turn it off.
No, I got a Mac. And if you say, Mac, come back, she literally will just run into oncoming traffic.
Yeah.
She's like, fuck you. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah. No. He won't.
When I'm thinking about how I'm going to replenish my summer wardrobe, well, baby, I'm going to Quince. Quince is the best, okay? I found Quince years ago when my mom started buying all their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for only $50. I personally love their organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric finishes, and I absolutely love that. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/absolutely for free shipping on your first order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/absolutely to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Again, that's any order. Just go to quince.com/absolutely to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/absolutely. You will thank me later. I am obsessed with all their linen. They've got linen jumpsuits. They've got a linen button-down dress that's iconic. I also love their washable silk. That way you can have an elevated look if you're going on a work trip, if you're heading to a wedding, whatever you're doing. They have some of the best staple pieces. I love everything that Quince has. And again, you get free shipping and 365-day returns. All you got to do is go to quince.com/absolutely. You will thank me later. Again, that's quince.com/absolutely. This year, I'm officially moving on from my cheap razor era and getting the premium razor my body deserves. And honey, I'm going to be so slick. I'm going to be so slick going into this pool season that I will glide. I will glide like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Okay, watch out, local swim teams, because I'm coming in. I love Athena because they just make a really great product. I've seen the Athena Club Razor all over my TikTok, and I was hearing about it from other people, and then they wanted to sponsor the podcast. I said, let's give it a whirl. First of all, I like the price. Okay, Athena Club Razor Kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. The razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. I also love it's got a little convenient magnetic hook. There's nothing worse than when you set your razor on the side in your shower, it gets goopy and weird. No, no, no. This little magnetic hook is so chic. It's aesthetically pleasing. And also, I feel like half the time my razor's loose in the shower. It's a safety hazard, but not with the Athena Club Razor Kit. Also, the quality, it's amazing, all right? The razor glides effortlessly, and thanks to those five precision-engineered blades, you're going to get a really, really nice, smooth shave. If you're ready to upgrade your shaving experience, switch to the best razor in the market and show your skin the care that you deserve with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com and try their award-winning razor and body products to get 20% off your purchase with code absolutely at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving. You're going to love it at athenaclub.com. I love my dogs. I may be away from them right now, but if you don't think that the first thing that I go mouth to mouth with when I get home, well, then you must not know me. And I am so glad I feed them the Farmer's Dog because it is the best of the best. One of the reasons I love the Farmer's Dog because it makes real fresh dog food and delivers right to my door. The recipes are developed by vet nutritionists, made from real meat and veggies and portioned just for your dog. Makes it easy to say goodbye to burnt brown balls and feed your dog real food with real benefits. One of the other reasons I love it is my vet loves it. A lot of dogs can be overweight. I mean, hell, I know I need to take off a few LBs. But you know what? Farmer's Dog is great because my vet's happy that it keeps my dogs at a healthy weight. And you know what? When your dogs are at a healthy weight, they have good heart health. And that also means that they can stick around for longer. Okay. And that's what we're all here to do. We're all here to treat our pets better than we treat ourselves. So they have longevity and they can be our buddies for life. I love the Farmer's Dog. And more importantly, my dogs love it. They literally lose their mind. I say breakfast, dinner, they come barreling down the stairs, barreling through the back door on our porch. They go absolute apeshit for it. They love it. And I love Farmer's Dog because I can be specific about it. I go on their website, fill in all my dog's information. Macaroni can't have turkey or any sort of poultry. So I make sure that I'm feeding her beef or lamb or pork or something else that she can digest, which is fantastic. Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/absolutely. Plus, you get free shipping. Just go to thefarmersdog.com/absolutely to get 50% off. That's thefarmersdog.com/absolutely. Now back to the podcast. Okay, so you're wedding planning.
Oh my God.
And when's the wedding?
End of June.
Oh my God.
Tomorrow?
You're coming around the, you're literally around the corner.
Tomorrow, Heather.
Okay, how many people are we having at the wedding?
So it's technically a destination wedding for most people.
Right.
Because it's in Seattle. So 95% right. of our invites are not from.
Mm-hmm.
And the, all the research we did said if you have a destination wedding, 30% of your invites won't come. And it's like a little bit more than that. So we're looking at like 150, 175.
That's great.
Yeah.
I did a destination Italy wedding post COVID and everyone came and then did a plus seven. Okay. It was. Nice. I thought it, I was like, oh, this wedding's gonna be cheap. Like only like 100 people are gonna come.
Yeah.
It, everyone RSVP'd yes, and they brought a cousin. And I was like, yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
wild.
Oh, and that's the thing too. I'm like, the people who RSVP yes, yeah. I'm like, okay, shocking the people who RSVP no.
Yeah.
yeah,
and you
I'm
won't
like,
realize
okay,
how
okay.
like kind of like, you know, hurt you'll get by some stuff. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry you didn't have this on the calendar for 2 years. Like, this is the most exclusive party ever. But yeah, that's fine. Go on vacation to the Maldives with your family.
Every time we get a no, I look to Morgan and I go, it's because we're gay?
Yeah.
Like, is that why? Is that it? But some cool stuff has happened with
wedding
planning.
I did that with Jeff. I was like, it's because we're fat.
They hate it. Yeah, they hate can't, it. They can't
but the
hang.
Food's going to be banging at the wedding.
Ooh, our food. I just did our tasting. I'm stoked.
Can we share the menu? Is
yeah,
it exclusive?
Yeah, we can definitely share the
Please
menu.
Please tell me. Also, if you don't have a publicist that's going to put you in like People Magazine or something, then that's a missed opportunity. So make sure we get a publication.
I'm going to give you some real details yeah. when we're done.
Yeah.
Because maybe I will take you up on that.
Okay.
The food is, I really wanted to be Pacific Northwest, really wanted to go.
Which is, what is that cuisine? Like chowder?
No, it's like grass.
Yeah. Grass and black tar heroin.
Yeah. yeah. So we're doing a fresh halibut.
Okay.
Which is just really served in this, like, I can't even describe it. Like, it's like
parchment paper.
It's
is
like
it
a,
the parchment
a
paper one?
Pea puree that's like oh. keeping it on the table with this like soy glaze. It's
gorgeous,
unbelievable.
I feel like the only way people do halibut these days has got to be in that like you know like sous vide and parchment paper, and then they open it, and then it's got like figs it's, on it or oh, some shit.
Yeah, okay. Very that. We're doing a ribeye steak, which is
gorgeous
and delicious. And then I'm really excited for the appetizers because uh-huh. I was like, literally, don't give a fuck. Okay, a lot of right. these are gonna be fried, and everyone's gonna love it.
Right.
It's a crab cake. A duck confit.
Oh my God, I'm horny.
A tempura fried squash blossom with
Perfection.
Goat cheese, hot honey on top of that, and an arancini.
Can I tell you?
Yeah.
You just knocked it out of the fucking park.
Thank
and
you.
I think I have availability at the end of June. So if you
we'll
want me
there,
to come,
we'll
I will give
there.
A great gift.
We'll see you there. And then we'll go to the Moore Theater together,
yeah, we'll
attack
do the Moore
team,
Theater.
Pitch
yes.
the show. Yeah.
And then that way we'll pay for the wedding.
Done.
Because can I tell you, like my tour, I talk about what happened at my wedding. I got to write that shit off. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that out loud, but I got to write a lot of it off. So your next tour,
oh.
even just throw in like one story from the vows and you get to write
the vows,
it off.
Morgan hates it. I keep calling him the vows my set. And he's like, no.
That was mine.
Yeah.
I surprised my husband when I was like serious for 2 seconds and I made him cry. I'm actually still kind of like upset about my husband's vows. It was so sweet, but I was like, Jeff, where is the funny? There wasn't a joke. It was heartfelt. I was disappointed. And I told him later, I was like, I was heartfelt, but then I also closed hard. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
I was,
oh,
my dad
yeah.
My dad was like crying. He was feeling the emotion. I'm like, no, sweetheart.
It's got to be funny.
This got to be funny.
Literally, I'm like, my yeah. agents and managers are yeah. right there. Like this. There's things on the line.
You don't understand. They're either going to submit me for
right.
that new like Issa Rae movie or
right.
they're not.
Like this is going to be a movie
mm-hmm.
and you need to just be along for the ride.
Yeah.
Dessert, we're doing a hollowed out lemon and a hollowed out blood orange with lemon sorbet and
Great.
Sorbetto. Yeah.
And that's nice. Good palate cleanser.
Oh, yeah.
I do sometimes think people go a little too hard on the desserts. Are you doing anything like a late night treat? Like how hard are your, you have a lot of drinkers? Because like my crew party's hard.
There's no alcohol budget.
That's the number one thing. And I get it. To everybody's taste, I always say stay in your lane, stay in your budget. But if you're going to do beer and wine, you don't run out. You know what I mean?
Yes, ma'am.
You need to be handing out Miller High Life with hot dogs at the end.
Yes,
like lean
fully,
in.
Fully.
Lean into the budget.
We have like a champagne situation
right.
happening. So everyone's got a drink in their hand during the ceremony and then during the cocktail hour, there's
that.
More drink.
Lots. Right.
The late night snack
mm-hmm.
on the fence about.
Okay.
How do you feel about Detroit style pizza, Heather? Be honest.
Okay. Don't get mad at me.
I may.
Okay. Actually, I'm really nervous to say this. I like Detroit I cannot speak
Destroyed
today. Detroit style. I like Detroit style.
Honestly.
I hate you so much. I like it better than Chicago style because it is a deep dish.
We are one.
Chicago style gives me immediate diarrhea.
It's It's goop.
It's a choking hazard. It's basically like a melted mozzarella stick. And I choked on a mozzarella stick not once, but twice as a child. And then once at this like chic place in Brooklyn.
Yeah, medieval times.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So Detroit style pizza I like because I like it's a little crispy, but it is a little spongy. It is. I prefer a thin crust, but I would take over Chicago style pizza.
Heather, that was such a good
descriptor.
Defense.
Because I'm terrified for my life right now.
No, that was great because we are from Detroit, so I will cut you.
Yeah.
But there is this pizza. I keep going back and forth if I want to say the name because I have tried for fucking years for this place to. I'm like, I just want to be in a commercial.
Right.
That's all.
No, then say it. This is a manifesting podcast. Say the name.
Jets Pizza. Give you
Jets
everything, Jets. I give you literally gold on a platter and you don't even want to work with me and I don't fucking get it. But literally, I have people, I had a woman drive from Milwaukee to Eastern Detroit to get Jets Pizza because she saw on me that she needed to order an all corners pizza with turbo crust, cheese and pepperoni with not just a side of ranch Jets, a fucking that squeeze bottle of ranch that you have. And she did that because I told her to. And you don't want to do shit with me. Yeah. I just want to wear the jetpack. I have the mustache to be the mascot. Like, can we do it?
Bra, 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 bra. There you go.
Yeah, like, honestly.
Good for you. I'm so glad you took that moment and you owned that because Jets should be so lucky.
Jets,
if you don't call, you're homophobic. We said
it's from a gay icon, Jets.
Hate crime.
And it's my wedding's in June. I'm brewing things. My wedding's in June, Jets. June Pride Month.
June.
Like, I'm not even asking for it to be in rainbow boxes. Like,
yeah.
Calm down.
Calm down. They should be so lucky.
So they opened up a Jets, like, not in Seattle, but it's not far. It's close enough where we could work it out to keep the pizza hot. And I do want that to be I actually want an igloo cooler of Jets Ranch because Jets Ranch is
the far superior.
It's the best cardiac
I had it in Detroit because it's around the corner from the Shinola Hotel.
It is, sure it is, yeah.
And it was phenomenal.
Heather.
It was great. I really enjoyed it. That's how I feel about, like, Chick-fil-A. Like, I tried to get Chick-fil-A sandwiches to Italy.
Speaking
and I was
of
like,
homophobia.
It just wasn't. But can I tell you, my Chick-fil-A is the gayest Chick-fil-A you will ever attend.
Have you? Oh, my God, Heather.
It is
Have
so gay.
Have you seen the man on TikTok?
Oh, the man on TikTok who does the swirls of the twirls?
I'm literally breaking your studio.
Honestly, this whole place is just fucking boom. Don't even worry about it.
He dances?
Yeah, he dances and twirls.
But
yeah,
he's married.
Oh, to a gal? Well, that's like that. That's like being in the South, though. Everybody's a youth pastor, and they're all a little gay.
A little gay. They love sausage on a Sunday.
You should go to the Chick-fil-A at the corner of, is it Sunset and La Brea, the Hollywood one?
Yeah.
Oh, honey, it is. It is all the rainbow. It is fantastic.
Have you ever heard the song Chow Down for Chick-fil-A?
Uh-uh.
Willem, who is a famous drag queen here in Los Angeles, did a parody with a couple other girls, Vicky Vox and Detox. And parody of Chick-fil-A.
I'm in.
You'll live your best life.
I love it. I mean, I'm from Atlanta, so it's kind of in my bones. It's in my blood. And honestly, if they said that they hated women and that I, you know, they Handmaid's Tale me, but am I getting nuggets? Am I getting a party tray for my party? Like, let me know.
Homophobia aside, I got to be real with you. It doesn't do it for me.
I hear you.
I have had Chick-fil-A before I knew. And it is, I don't know. It's just not.
It didn't hit.
I think the hype was too much, honestly.
I hear you. And honestly, they have changed their chicken. And listen, I've been kind of burned by them. I thought I was going to get a lot of, like, I haven't even gotten a free party tray. I've not even gotten a gift card. Mm-hmm. And I go hard for them. And Truett Cathy, who started Chick-fil-A, spoke at my high school graduation. And I guess he was a little problematic, but I still went hard for him. And I feel you. You know it. You guys have given me nothing. Joe has inspired me. Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
Come through. I'm
taking over your podcast one more time. Can we go back and forth and say some of the coolest fucking sponsorship or like just surprised companies that have like sent you shit?
Oh, yeah. But you start.
I'm doing this to sing to your Southern heart.
Uh-huh.
Did my show in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And when I started dating Morgan, I very quickly became obsessed with Bo-Berry Biscuits from Bojangles.
Oh, Bojangles, yeah.
Bojangles came to my show with two full trays of Bo-Berry Biscuits warm for the whole staff and a full Bojangles sweatsuit that had the melted biscuits on it that I did put on and wear during the show because Bojangles fucks with me.
So I got the same thing, but I did not get the merch. I only got the Bo-Berry biscuits. And so Bojangles, I too would like a Bojangles sweatsuit.
Give me one. You got a good
one. I got to have one. I was just on another podcast and we were talking about how, like, why does everybody have merch? Like, there's some companies that don't need merch and there's some companies that do.
Literally.
I would love a Vagisil tracksuit. If Vagisil's making, I would wear a Vagisil tracksuit in a heartbeat.
Come on.
Heartbeat? You can't talk today.
On a heartbeat.
I've gotten a lot of cool shit.
Like cool and unexpected.
Let me think. You know, the Ireland, just the country of Ireland sent me, like, the tourism board sent me a whole fucking thing of, like, Kerrygold butter and cheese and tea.
No.
And they were like, you know, like, please come. And I said, I will be there. And I think I'm going to freeze my eggs again in Ireland this year.
That's dope, Heather.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
My girlfriend Christina has been looking into it. She's got deep Irish roots and it's so much cheaper to do it in Ireland. And
really?
Yeah. And also, like, you know, who knows what the fuck's going to happen in America?
Yeah.
And it's all a little scary. And my husband and I have done IVF a ton. And so I'm just like, why don't we just have all of our embryos frozen in Ireland? And then we have an excuse to hit some pubs and make a baby, you know?
I'm team that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
So are you guys thinking about maybe having kids?
Oh, definitely. I mean, like, even being the cute thing about Morgan and I is on our first date, we asked each other if we wanted to have kids.
That's great.
And we both knew that if the other person said no, that we weren't going to even go on a second date too. And we both said yes. And being a teacher, you know, I'm a teacher because I just, like, I loved working with kids.
Yeah.
I loved doing all that. And it takes a very specific type of person to want to be an educator. And I think that's just because, like, I like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I definitely want kids, want a family. And when we both decided that we wanted to do that, we're like, yes, it's like for sure in the cards.
Yeah.
For sure in the cards.
It's a journey and it's tough too, because, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, whether if you go like a surrogacy route or however you do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I might even have to do that route because I got tumbleweeds for, you know, they were actually like, you have the perfect body to carry a baby. You just don't have the accoutrements inside to like make it.
Yeah.
So I might be calling a small Guatemalan lady for an egg. You know what I mean?
Hey.
I don't know. But I'm like, but that would be nice. I would kind of like, if I do have to get an egg from somebody else, I'd like it to be a petite person.
Yeah.
Because Jeff's already a large guy. And I know that if we made babies together, they'd be monsters.
Yeah.
You know, so I might be like actually profiling people who are like petite and small.
Right. Fully. You know? Fully.
Yeah.
I read the comments and I follow a lot of like gay guys who have kids to kind of just like, you know, see what's going on, how they're doing things and whatnot. The comments can be wild. People will be like, where's the mom? It's like, this baby was made in a dish, ma'am.
My favorite thing in the world is these like adoption TikToks where people talk about like the adoption process and, you know, folks get upset if the baby is obviously not the same race or this or that. And you're just like, somebody took a chance on taking a child in. Shut the fuck up.
It's wild, dude.
It is wild. Opinions on the internet. Oh, I had somebody got upset that I said I voted for Biden and they DM'd myself and my husband. This woman said all these things. I hope you can never have kids. I hope your insides rot. You IVF whore, like crazy shit to the point where I printed it out and I have it on my desk in my office because I'm like, yeah, like I look at that every day and I'm like, I'm doing fine. You know what I mean?
It's like it's
the crazy DMs.
You take tests and pass them to get a license, but everyone's just given a keyboard. I don't agree with that. I think that it's insane. And the things that people will say behind the safety of their keyboard is mind boggling. You don't know me.
Yeah. You don't know me. And then when people see that you're doing comedy and then they take what I'm saying seriously, like if I'm going on a bullshit rant on a podcast, like, you know, when I'm being serious and then they don't know you from Adam. And then they come in and they're just like reading you to filth. And you're like, this is comedy. Calm the fuck down.
Heather, I had a woman one time. I do have a few jokes about how I do not prefer vagina.
Yeah.
And
that's okay.
It is very okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's just how I am. And I go off on this tangent about it. And this woman goes, in Seattle, clearly. Uh-huh. I just didn't like all the vagina shaming. And I was like, ma'am, let me be very clear and very specific with you when I say, couldn't hate the stuff more.
Yeah.
Just gonna full spell it out for you. Mm-hmm. Not the for me.
Yeah, yeah. Like, lay off, bitch. It's a joke.
Give her the balls for saying it to me in person.
Yeah.
That was good.
Okay, good for her.
Yeah, good for her.
You know what? Maybe that's what we want. Don't say it in the DMs. fight me backstage at my own show. I'll see you in the alley.
Yeah, you, me, and Jess Pizza.
Yeah, instead of like going outside and like signing autographs, people are like, all right, I got a list of the jokes I'm pissed about. Let's fucking go.
that's a sketch right
I
there.
I had two women at a show in Lake Park, Florida once get in a fight and I, over a vagina situation, I had had a, this is when I first went on the road, I did like a little Absolutely Not segment because the Absolutely Not podcast with my audience. I had one woman stand up and she was like, absolutely not to like going to deliver your baby and not having your vagina waxed. Then a nurse stood up and goes, absolutely not to shaming people to having to like clean up their pussy before they come and do a thing. And these women started going at it.
No.
I almost couldn't rein it in. And I was like, guys, these are jokes. We're having fun. Absolutely not. Pubic hair. It's crazy. I like was like, what is happening?
Scary.
Yeah, now I got a full bush. So I also kind of I'm kind of siding with the nurse.
Home to you. Get it, girl. Yeah. I had a meet and greet, had a woman cut in front of another woman, and the other woman got so pissed, she snapped off her prosthetic leg and started wailing it like this. I was like, I need to leave Cleveland
like
immediately.
Like a Diva Drescher from the Real Housewives of New York.
Full on, took off her leg, was wailing it.
She's also a teacher. She's a first grade teacher.
This is wild.
And then what did everybody else do around her? Yeah.
It was quiet. It was quiet. And then she came to the meet and greet. She was allowed to stay in because security guards sometimes don't know how to secure.
Yeah.
We'll let the woman who welded her leg around come up to me now.
Sure.
And she was very proud of what she did. And did you see me? Like, I saw
Patricia. I've noted, and I'm going to lay in bed tonight and replay that over and over in my mind and think, should I go back to teaching?
You ever have freaks break into your green room?
Oh, have I? But not a freak. This gal was actually, my gals are just drunk and they're on like a bachelorette. But it was because security was eating a Chick-fil-A party platter that I had served everybody. And a woman came in and said, I found you. She goes, I found you. And I had just taken my like soaking wet underwear off because I sweat a lot on stage.
Thanks
predominantly
for that.
From the crotch region.
Thanks. Perfect. I'm fully erect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody who listens to this podcast knows I've had the gals come back. What happened to you?
I'm in the green room. Okay. Uh-huh. Speaking of lazy eyes, this woman... This is psycho. This is psycho head.
Okay.
This is at in Miami, first of all.
Miami's another world. It's crazy.
She waited for the house to clear. Mm-hmm. The security guards outside my green room waiting. Mm-hmm. And she went up to him full cross-eyed and goes, I can't find my glasses. Can you check the lost and found? I can't find my glasses. And he goes, oh my God, yeah, I'll go check. He goes to look at the lost and found. She beelines it in the green room. She knew he was going to catch on quickly. Comes in, sits immediately next to me. He storms in and is looking at me. And she goes, oh, no, we're fine. Like, we're really good friends. No, we're really good friends. Like, your mom's name is Fran. And you do that. And was like listing all these things about me.
And your social security number is 457.
It was getting there. It was wild. And then the security guard's looking and he's like, and I'm like,
no.
So I was like, did you want it? Because don't fuck with crazy.
Yeah.
So
no.
I was going to get wild. And I was like, don't fuck
with
crazy.
You have to say, how are you? How are things?
That's what I did. I was like, did you want to take a picture? And she's like, oh, well, you know, when we took that picture on the beach earlier today, bitch, I wasn't at the beach. And I was like, let's just take a picture and do this stand up. We take a picture and I say, okay, great. Have a great day. And she, even the other comics who were in the room were like, oh, this is your person.
Yeah.
No.
So you were smart. The best way to diffuse is turn it and be like, tell me, what was your name? Oh, Marissa. Marissa, how many kids do you have? You got to turn it. Mm-hmm. I could see the crazy coming from a mile away.
Scary.
The wildest one when they go, you haven't responded to my DMs. And you can just feel like, you know, like their hands are shaking a little bit.
That made me.
I'm very active. Like, I like to chit chat with everybody. Like, let's not forget, I live with my mom. Like we're I'm one of the gals.
Yeah.
But when they say you haven't, because they get quiet about it, you've never responded to my DMs. And then you go, okay. She's got a knife in the Chanel, in the Chanel purse.
I don't like it.
But I love that we've got stalkers because that means we're doing something right.
Oh my God, it does mean that actually. Yeah.
But it is usually white women.
They leaked my wedding website. They leaked my house. It was kind of crazy.
But if you get gifts, that's nice. Like, I got a couple of random gifts from fans and I will forever be grateful. Like wedding gifts.
At at shows or delivered?
Oh, no, they bring them to shows. But actually for my wedding, I got a couple like random gifts. And I was like, thank you. I appreciate that. Like crystal, like nice, like china. I was like, I'll take it. I got a lot of rich gals.
That's,
you know,
very sweet.
And if you don't have money and you listen, also keep the hustle going. You know what I mean?
That's sweet. I do like that.
What's the craziest gift you've ever gotten at a show?
I did have a woman take off her bra and throw it to me. I said, I think we're barking up the wrong tree. Mm-hmm, that was the whole thing. But I had a woman hand make etched Morgan and Joe coasters.
Gorgeous.
For a wedding engagement gift that she etched into this like beautiful stone and these beautiful stone coasters. I had another woman hand very crafty women, my fans.
Let me tell you what.
Yeah.
The motor skills of the people that follow me is insane. I've got a whittled wood.
Whittled wood ring holder.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of cool things.
But
wow.
It is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And the things that they come up with and give, I'm just like, this is great. What is really touching to me is when they come. Also, like, don't feel like you have to do this. I'm just talking about.
No, bring me gifts. I absolutely, I favor the, if you bring me gifts, I will answer your DMs.
you're going to the meet and greet. When they bring me things locally, like, this is our place that everyone knows and goes to. And I wanted to bring it to you. And I'm like, that is just so thoughtful. Because laughter, it is cathartic.
It
you know,
is.
As cliche as people want to say, but it brings people together, and it's
I love
it's
a local
good.
Wear. I love some flair. When I first went out on the road, so many gals were starting charcuterie companies. There was no food safety guidelines, okay? But I would literally, in my first tour, I would have 25 women with brand new business cards because I told everyone I love meat and cheese plates, and they would start their charcuterie company. It would literally, I get 10 cards afterwards. I'd be like, Sally Charcute, Marissa's Meat and Cheese, Linda loves cornichons. Like, that was the, and everyone started these companies, and I'd have meat and cheese plates, and I gotta be honest with you, they're starting to dwindle and I'm upset about it. So I just want y'all to know I'm taking a little time off the road, but when I go back on the road looking directly into camera, I would really enjoy some more meat and cheese plates. Thank you so much. Don't forget to be a girl boss.
She'd love a charcuterie.
I'd love a charcuterie. Joe, thank you so much for being here.
Heather,
I think you're
you.
A doll in a dream. We have to do something
yes,
together. Like
yes.
I really love you. I am so rooting for you. Everybody can see you on YouTube called
Don't Eat the Crayons.
Don't Eat the Crayons.
You can follow me on all of the things.
I love
this. At Joe_Dombrowski.
Hell yeah.
Find me, follow
Good
me.
Good Midwest name.
It is.
Polish, right?
Very. Yeah. Polish and Italian. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Well, hey, bring him some pierogies to his shows. Joe, thank you so much for being here. And you've got a show on May 7th
at the Hollywood Improv. Come on down. There's two of them.
I love
it. Heather, you never know.
And what's your website?
My website is thejoedombrowski.com. Yes, I am on tour. And yes, you can come.
Great. I love it. Thank you for being here. This was one of my favorite episodes ever. As always, guys, you know where to find us. 800-213-7503. I'll get back into the voicemails next week. I'm so excited to see you, hear from you. Come out to my show this weekend at the Mont Blanc Theater, Sunday, Cinco de Mayo at 7 p.m. Can't wait to see you guys there. And remember, support all your local comics because we're out here doing the Lord's work. Ciao, Bella Arrivederci. Thank you. Bye.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.